the cool scientist is here with all the science stories of the week. Sean Duke. Hiya,
Hi,
Sean.
Hi, Declan. How are you doing?
Are you good?
I'm good.
Kept busy?
I am kept busy, yeah. Yeah, writing and radio work as usual and trying to write a certain amount of words a day with this book. That's the trick. If you can hit the certain word count, then... Yeah, you know, you have to do it every day. That's the trick.
Very good. Okay. Well, long may it continue. Well, yeah. Short may it continue. Get the book out. This is pretty interesting because the National Cancer Registry report was out this week. Could we soon detect cancer in 10 minutes?
Yeah. This is a blood test for cancer, and it's something that's been talked about for a while, but it seems to be getting to the stage where it might become reality. So the science of this latest news in The Guardian is kind of interesting. It's what happened to bring this to light was an accident, really. There was a company called Illumina, which is an American company, and they were running a new blood test they had on 125,000 mothers. This is in the US, and they were looking for DNA abnormalities that would pick up Down syndrome in the fetus, pregnant women. And they noticed that 10 of those came back with signals of abnormal DNA, but they realized, interestingly, they weren't from the fetuses. So they realized that the DNA that was wrong, if you like, was from the mother, and they picked up the signs of undetected cancer in these unfortunate mothers-to-be. So what that meant, of course, was that the blood test picked up the very early signs of cancer in these pregnant women. So they thought, could we develop this into a blood test for cancer? And it seems they can. So we know that we have screening, of course, we've breast, colon, lung cancer screening, I think, as well. And generally, though, the screening is done for people at high risk, and sometimes people don't like screening because, say, with breast cancer, it can be sore, you know, the mammograms and stuff like that. But with a blood test, it would be very quick, it would be relatively painless, and most importantly, it would pick it up before the symptoms start to appear, because somebody could be walking around very healthy, like these unfortunate women, these 10 women who are pregnant, and they might think that they're fine and they don't have any symptoms at all, but there is cancer ticking away there inside them. And what happens is that the cancer, once it's there, it sheds these abnormal DNA into the bloodstream, you know, just naturally sheds it. So this test can pick up this circulating cancer, if you like, at very small trace levels. So the company has set up a separate company called Grail just to develop this into a test for cancer. And they're thinking it might cost in the region of about $500. What's that? I don't know what the exchange rate is. 500 euro maybe, or slightly more or less, I'm not sure. And the idea that they have is that this could be given annually to people over a certain age. So say 50, I think, is usually the age when people start to get to a stage where they're more likely to pick up cancers. So over the age of 50, maybe the government could have this test when it becomes available for everybody. Go into your GP, get it done every year. So if the earliest signs of cancer are there, you'd pick it up. And amazingly as well, not only can it pick up cancer, it can pick up the type of cancer, and it can pick up the stage of the cancer you're at. So
it'll do away with all the other tests, wouldn't it?
It could, possibly. Now, the one thing to be say, one health warning, if you like, on it, is that the precise detection rate at the moment is only in about the 80% for certain cancers. So it's, you know, until it gets right up to the kind of 90s, I'm sure it'll be used in addition to what we're already doing.
Right, okay, but it's on the way. Great breakthrough on that one. Having more children slows down aging in women.
Yeah, and I know there's women mothers out there that say the children are putting years on me, and I've experienced that myself. But actually, because even though the children can tire you out or whatever, the science of it says the opposite. And it seems now, this is research that's come in from Canada, where they looked at Simon Fraser University researchers. They looked at 75 women who are from Guatemala background in Canada, and the reason I think they picked the Guatemalan women was that they've high fertility, they have a lot of children, and also there's a lot of support for the children that have, for the women that have children. In any case, they looked at the women, and they made an interesting finding. They found that in the women that had more children, they had longer telomeres. Now, I think we've mentioned these telomere things before. They're kind of like the protection that you might have on brake pads, if you like, that over time your brake pads get worn down, right? So think of telomeres in that kind of way, and that if you have, the telomeres protect the DNA. So, you know, if you've got longer ones, essentially you're going to get more time with your DNA protected. Because when they wear down, like with the brake pads, if you like, and they start to screech and all of that, if the telomeres are gone and worn away, it exposes the DNA to errors. The DNA starts to go haywire, and that actually leads to diseases like cancer, cardiovascular disease. So the telomeres protect it; it's like a cover. So they found that the women actually had longer telomeres the more children they had. And then they thought, well, why is this? And the theory is it's due to the estrogen, that's the female hormone in pregnancy, that's produced, and that's an antioxidant, which is a good thing. Obviously, we've heard of antioxidants, and it keeps the telomeres in place for longer and stops them shortening for longer. So it's as if you have more children, nature is saying, well, you're more valuable now because we need you to bring those children up. So when you're feeling exhausted with the kids, or you're thinking of maybe having even another one, maybe there's a big plus there in terms of longevity.
Very good. It's Sean Duke, the cool scientist. He's a journalist and author. It's Sean talking about the science stories of the week. Before we get to the cats, the UK are coming ahead with a new legislation to ban plastics, certain plastics.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're getting anything done with this Brexit stuff, but there has been a bill put forward on plastics, which is really, as we know, it's such a huge problem now. And the bill was brought forward, interestingly, by a chap called Alistair Carmichael, who's a Lib Dem for Orkney and Shetland, because obviously they're islands up in the north of Scotland there, and they have found around the islands alarming levels of microplastics, these tiny, tiny plastics which you can't even see, and they're messing up the sea and bird life. So he has brought forward a bill, and his bill, which has support, I think wide support, it seems, is calling for a complete ban on all but the most important essential plastics, the ones that we use in hospitals, say, and for safety purposes. Everything else, particularly the single-use plastics, have to go in his bill. In fact, the single-use are going to go by 2025 in this bill, which is only a few years away, and all the rest by 2042. So to get rid of plastic. The figures are staggering. 300 million tons of plastic are being produced, and they reckon about 10% of that is ending up in the ocean each year. That's 30 million tons per year going into the ocean. So, I mean, what that means is that the plankton, the little plankton, are essentially turning into plastic. They're being eaten by the whales. It's in our food chain. Fish, they've got microplastics in them. We need to do something, and the UK is doing something.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens to Brexit and all that sort of stuff. Okay, we'll come to the main subject of the day. Cat owners pass on personality to owners.
Yeah, so the cat
to owners, to cats themselves.
To cats themselves. I think we probably know, we're all familiar with this idea that your parents do have an influence on you, obviously, and say people that come from difficult backgrounds, it can affect the personality, and vice versa if you come from a nice stable background. Well, it seems that that is the same with cats and their owners, or cat owners and cats. So if you're, the scientists are saying, if your cat is overweight, or you're suffering from behavioural problems, your cat that is, then maybe you need to look in the mirror. So a new study in the UK anyway has found that there's a link between the personality of the cat owners and the behaviour and well-being of their cats. It's not a big surprise because, you know, we would accept that the personality of parents has a big influence on the behaviour and well-being of the children. So, you know, it's essentially the same thing. And they looked at 3,000 cats and cat owners. And they found that owners who scored high for what they call neuroticism, so that's things like anxiety, fear, anger, depression, loneliness, all those negative things, if the owners had a high score for those, then they were more likely to have cats that had behavioural issues. And, I mean, people might say that sounds airy-fairy, but they were able to then find that the cats, from the neurotic backgrounds, if you like, had more stress-related illness, were more likely to be overweight, and were more likely to have an ongoing medical condition. So, you know, and the flip side, of course, is that when the owners were agreeable and conscientious and open, that seemed to have a better impact on the cats. So there you go. If you, you can have a big influence on your cat. If you're neurotic, maybe your cat's going to be neurotic.
Good to talk to you as always, Sean. Thank you very much indeed. Sean Duke, author and journalist with the Science Stories of the Week.